Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Viewer discretion is advised. Your fave will be criticized.
Today, we are joined by AJ and Caitlin of the Talking Trash Eurovision podcast to discuss all things Eurovision 2024.
Wow.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Of course. And a special shout out to our Patreon producers, Louie, Emily, and Juliet. And don't forget, you can become one too at patreon.com/cctvpops. And you can help us decide our next episode topics and also get the exclusive before this episode is released.
Ooh. Yes.
All right. So Chantel and I have dabbled in Eurovision through the years. Like, I watched the Netflix movie, of course. We watched select performances that have gone viral, but it is time to truly get into it because it is the biggest music event in the world. So it feels wrong that we're not already into it.
You're getting in because it's a really strong group of songs.
Yeah, we're enjoying it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. Okay, so many non-Europeans still don't know about it.
Which blows my mind. Like, it's awesome, everybody. Get into it.
We know we're realizing now, but you know, our Patreon Dwayne even said it's still going on. I only know because ABBA got big off of it. So a lot
of
it's crazy.
I mean, a lot of people forget, like, Celine Dion was a Eurovision artist. Like, they've been Sam Ryder, like, from the UK, like, a lot of these folks have competed in Eurovision, people that, like, Americans know about. So let's go, America.
It's a slow crawl. I mean, we talk about it even with Kylie. A lot of people didn't know. And I'm like, oh, goodness. But we're going to get to that. So give us a second, y'all.
Yeah.
Because we're passionate.
Yes. So AJ, Caitlin, how did you get into Eurovision then?
Oh, this is mostly my fault. It's actually, weirdly, Chris's sister's fault.
Oh.
Start with the whole thing. She sent me a couple things to watch, and then when the movie came out, she wanted someone to watch it with her to, like, talk about it with. And I watched it and was like, this is a thing that happens every year. And then by the time 2021 came around and it was back from COVID, I was so far down the rabbit hole that there was no coming back.
You know what's funny about that? I'm not sure we've ever talked about this. I also saw the Eurovision movie with Chris's sister because she wanted to watch it a second time. And her and our friend Danielle came over to my home and we watched it. And I was like, oh, what a funny, like, farce. And they were like, no. This is genuinely, it's like, this is genuinely what Eurovision is like. And so I started to I went down, like, the YouTube rabbit hole. And then Caitlin and I just, like, as the years have gone on, like, I've just fallen deeper and deeper into the well. And now I'm fully obsessed.
So what do you enjoy the most about it? Give us a little teaser into your mind. Let us know, what is it that drew you to it and why do you keep watching it?
It's a spectacle. I mean, the whole point of it is that each country gets 3 minutes to make an impression. And so there are countries who don't take it as seriously, but there are countries who pull out all the stops. There are countries that go very weird. There are countries that just go very big and there's, like, pyrotechnics and huge stage displays.
It's like somebody took American Idol and injected it with, like, an incredible dose of acid and steroids. It's bananas. Like, for those of you out there who have seen Eurovision on Netflix, or what's Eurovision Song Contest, or
the I Spy or Saw.
I Spy or Saw. Fire and I Saw. I mean, watch that movie. That is what Eurovision is like. Like, the crazier the better actually is good there. I love it. I live for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it gives spectacle, it gives fashion, it gives crazy, like,
it gives weird culture that you wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Especially as Americans, you know. What do we know about Lithuanian culture except now we know at least a couple artists and
sort
of what they like in their pop music.
Yeah. Another cool thing is that, sorry, we're just going on and on, but the other, when she talks about, like, the different cultures and stuff, there is a point in the show, and I'm sure we'll get to it, where, like, every country gets to vote. And when they do that, like, you get a little clip of the country, and like some of them wear their custom, you know, costume regalia. And I really like that part because I like seeing all the different countries, like what their cultures are in a snippet. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I also have a lot of friends that are now planning trips, right, to go actually attend. So I know some people who are going this year, actually.
Jealous of them.
Yeah. That's the next step for you guys, I think.
1,000%. We've threatened a whole, like, months-long tour of all of the national finals ending at Eurovision, so
yeah,
someday.
We're going to get an RV and just cruise Europe.
Cute.
Okay, so now you have a podcast, so yeah. What made you decide to start that, and how has it been going?
Well, I'm a podcast junkie. Like, I listen to podcasts of all kinds every day, anytime I'm in the car, walking my dog. Like, I just love podcasts, and I've always been told, like, you're such a podcast fan, why don't you make one? And so, I mean, we both love Eurovision and just seemed kind of like an obvious thing to do. Like,
and we were talking about it a little last year because we noticed that the only American commentators we could find were really surface level. They were like very into it, was just a straight, like, I like this or I don't, but not really talking about why it works or why it doesn't and where it comes from or any so we thought, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully someday it gets even bigger in America. There was one year, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, when Johnny Weir was the American commentator on the Peacock stream of Eurovision, and like, amazing. No one would be more perfect than Johnny Weir to comment on Eurovision. It was perfection.
Except us.
Except us. No, we're better than Johnny Weir. Yes, for sure. I don't want to price myself out. I work for cheap Eurovision. Call me.
That'd be amazing if you got a phone call. But yeah, so as we mentioned, Chris and I have been kind of dibble-dabbling, flirting with the idea of Eurovision, but not fully invested. But I feel like, Chris, you have a little bit more of like a connection to European music. So like, I think his is a little bit more like, oh yeah, the UK. But I don't think you and I have ever like really delved super deeply. And when we were talking about doing this episode, I was like, I think I know. Like, Laureen won last year, right? I was like, oh my God, wait, she did Euphoria. And when I was like getting into college, she had won that year. And I was like, yo, who's this airbending lady? That's all I knew. I didn't know it was Eurovision. I just saw wind and heard sound. I was like, wow, she's great. But like at the time, my brain was not, I guess, ready to do full research. So I'm kind of disappointed in myself for not really getting into it. But yeah, I was thinking to myself as we were getting ready for this, I was like, how in the world do they pick the acts beforehand? Like, do they have like national competitions? And obviously they do, but like, it's so involved.
Not all of them.
Oh.
Yeah, every country's different. Sometimes it's like a national selection where they do a like little mini Eurovision for their country. Sometimes it's a season of The Voice. Sometimes it's just the broadcaster gets together and says, this one, go.
Well, and it's like that scene in the Netflix movie. Like, sometimes it's just a bunch of folks in fancy clothes sitting around a conference room table saying, like, who should we send? Because they'll win. Like, it's as simple as that. So, yeah. I like the ones where there's competitions because then we can watch them.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, no, that should have been the one. Like,
oh, 100%.
Let's talk about Germany.
Ooh, hello. Please hold.
Well, shit.
I am aware of a lot of the Swedish ones because they do Melodifestivalen, right?
Yeah.
And so one of our favorite artists, Steps, who we've done a lot of episodes on,
oh, sure.
A lot of their discography has come from that festival, like through the years.
Yeah. And I'm a Steps fan as well. I think, yes.
Yes. So good. And A-Teens reunited
the best
this year at Melodifestivalen as well. So great moment.
Do you know if they're going to do Eurovision? Because I heard that ABBA has officially said, we're not coming back. So A-Teens might be a good placeholder.
Ooh, well, one of them is about to pop her baby. So maybe next year.
You know, it's
maybe
Eurovision.
Next year, but.
You should just do it on the stage. It's Eurovision. It flies. Like, it would totally work. Get the other singers to come in with, like, hot towels. No one's going for this.
Turn it into a stage show.
But before all the craziness, Eurovision was a simple baby on TV, right?
Yeah.
So the competition started in 1956 as sort of a way of like World War II was over, the dust was sort of settling, and Europe needed a get-along t-shirt, for want of a better term. So they put together this competition, and you're right, in the beginning it was just people standing in front of a microphone singing a song. You voted on what your favorite was, and then...
And just, like, 17 countries? Or
Yeah.
Like that. Like, a dozen countries. It used to be, yeah, super small.
And then when you really start to see the shift into being the, like, sort of crazy festival that it is now, is in, like, the 90s and 2000s, when you started to get Estonia and Lithuania and Poland, those, like, Eastern European countries started to come in. And they didn't have the name recognition that some of the Western European countries had. And so what they did instead was
go crazy.
Absolutely.
They came in with costumes and weird interpretive dance and pyrotechnics and changed it for the better. Yeah, definitely for the better. Yeah.
Interesting. So through the years with that, it's interesting because with the competitors, you get the really like dramatic ballads. You do get the kind of crazy, weird stuff as well. Have you noticed a pattern with kind of what does well, or is it kind of just a crapshoot every year?
Well, so since the 90s, when everything changed and the competition changed, they put in a new voting system where 50% of the points you get from the audience and 50% you get from industry experts. And they're usually at odds. We talk gas a little bit, but the jury points usually go towards those more ballady, prettier, well-sung, clean performance. And the audience likes the crazy.
Yeah,
so
we sure do.
It sort of depends on if there's an act that managed to sort of straddle the line a little bit and be a really clean, cool song that still has audience appeal, that tends to do really well. Otherwise, it tends to go more towards the ballads because the audience will be split on which brand of crazy they like that year.
But we've also seen it where, like, you know, so the jury votes go out first and then they get to, like, the audience scores. And what we've seen happen is, like, a country like Slovakia could be at the bottom, but then the audience chimes in with overwhelming love and, like, all of a sudden they're in, like, 10th place from like 30th place. Like, that can legitimately happen. And that's always an exciting part of the votes.
Yeah.
Like, to see something like that. And Caitlin can explain this better than I can, but there's also a lot of politicking involved in the votes. And so
sometimes it is truly political. And usually the producers in charge of the show will catch that and fix it while it's happening. But there is a lot of neighbors voting for neighbors. And some of that is just straight up what's popular in Poland is going to be popular in Ukraine, but not necessarily in Portugal.
Yeah, and like Portugal always votes for Spain and Spain always votes for Portugal.
Right. But there is also a lot of like, some of that is just cross culture. And some of it is the Scandinavian countries only like each other and they don't really give votes to anybody else. So it's both ways of like, sometimes it is politically motivated and sometimes it is just... No, we like that song too, or we know that artist because they play concerts in our country as well.
Yeah, and there's also like there's been times where like so Ukraine won 2 years ago, 2 years, 3 years,
2022.
Yeah, so 2 years ago Ukraine won, and that was like the year the war started, and like, but to be fair, their song was
a banger,
awesome. So like they might have won anyway, but there were certainly a lot of people out there saying that like, oh, they just won because of, you know, Russia, blah blah blah, and. Yeah, but, you know, so, like, this year it might be interesting to see what happens with Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some political machinations behind the voting, but they claim up and down that they are in a political contest because how else are you going to get everybody in Europe to do cooperate and get along?
I'm skeptical. I'm listening. It's fine. Yeah. Hey. Also worth mentioning, by the way, that Russia has not been allowed to participate for the last 3 years.
Yeah, been a minute. Yes, and
yeah, because there's also like I don't know what they call it, but there's like you're against the spirit of Eurovision thing where they can be like, sorry, you can't come to our party.
Yeah,
got it. One thing we did want to ask was some countries will submit songs in English, some they will sing in their native language. What's kind of the Is there a reason for that? Like, is it a strategy thing? Do English songs tend to do better? Or I guess, what are your thoughts on that?
Caitlin taught me this, so I'm going to let her take it.
Okay. There is a strategy to it. a lot of songs, like Czech Republic almost always sends a song in English.
Austria
usually sends songs in English. And
Israel also usually sings in English, like a lot of them do, yeah.
The bigger countries like Italy, certain countries prefer certain things. Italy likes to send a song in Italian. France likes to send a song that's either in French, or a couple years ago they had one in Breton. But it is a strategy game of, if you're Azerbaijan, who actually is sending a song in Azerbaijani this year, I'm very excited. But 90% of the time they don't, because half of Europe can't find you on a map. So it makes more sense to connect with more people to send a song that's in English.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's like their vibe and their staging and everything is so incredible that it transcends the language. So like strategically, for example, this year, they're like, we don't need to send it in English because our song rocks. It's pretty great. Yeah.
But that Adri's right in that if you're going to send a song in your native language, it needs to be pretty clear what the song is about, because nobody's going to look up the lyrics. You've got to have a really but you've got to have a really strong vibe if you're going to send a song in Estonian, for instance.
Yeah. I like seeing the foreign languages. For me, as an American, I'd love to hear the other languages, but I understand, you know, the strategy behind it. There's also a few songs this year where they sing in both English and they like interject some lyrics in their native language, which I think is also really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That mass appeal is definitely, definitely important. And you all did cover some of the rules, but for the people who don't know, we were doing some more research and we found out that for most countries, they compete in the semifinals, which then lead into the grand finale. But there are a select group of countries called, I guess, kind of considered the big five, right? The UK, France, Germany, Spain, and Italy that automatically qualify for the grand finale, along with the host country's entry due to their large monetary contribution to the contest. So a lot of people, I think, would be like, what is that? How does that work? But I mean, it makes sense. Apparently, Eurovision is super expensive. Oh, I was not even expecting that
myself. Yeah, girl, you did your research. Kudos. Yeah. Sure.
So we do here on CCTV. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a like, comment. And yeah, so a lot of people also don't know that the winning country hosts the competitions the following year. And because of this, it is believed that some countries don't want to host the contest. So they deliberately enter songs they know they won't win, which is kind of counterproductive to what you said about like the audience liking the spectacle. Because like, what if the song was like, what does the fox say? And people are like, well, I love this.
No, like, that is a thing that could happen.
You know, so it's
crazy. I encourage you all to go Google Windows 95 Man, all one word. That is a singer participating this year. And if you think What Does the Fox Say is a weird song, I got good news for you.
Yeah, there was like sort of a string of like Serbia and Croatia and a few other smaller countries winning and suddenly being like, oh, we don't have a stadium big enough to host Eurovision. We had like Azerbaijan won in, I think, 2011, somewhere in there, and had to construct a stadium because there wasn't one.
Yeah, it's like when you host the Olympics, like you have to have the right, what's the word I'm looking for? Infrastructure.
Right. So there, it definitely, in modern times, the smaller countries, you want to be noticed, but you want to be strategic about it because you're Treasury Department is going to lose it if you...
Well, and like one exception might be when Ukraine won, they couldn't host, but England stepped up for them, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And Ukraine still got to be like the host country, but obviously physically it was not in...
Yeah, no, they did a really beautiful job. They had Ukrainian hosts. They had former Ukrainian acts that they brought out to like make it feel like a Ukrainian competition, even though it was hosted in Liverpool. So
yeah, but that big five thing, so like you mentioned earlier how Italy almost always sends something in Italian, they don't have to worry as much because they know they're in the final five, or what is it called,
the finale.
They get to skip all the pre's. So yeah, so like Spain will be in Spanish, and yeah, like they don't care as much, or sometimes they just phone it in, like Germany.
So
sorry, I'm back to that again. I'm so mad about Germany.
Germany's really, really bugged both of us this year. But that's the other thing, is that with the big five and the host country getting to skip the semifinals, there are countries where you're like, oh yeah, Italy can just go to the finals because they always turn out with a really good song and some cool staging. Germany on the other hand, historically does not. And recently, the UK hasn't either. And so there is sort of a little bit of a bitterness to some of the countries who are like, we have to go through the semifinals. We have to like battle it out. We have to take the risk of performing multiple times and maybe something goes wrong. And Dragon Age is just going to roll up some guy who is looks like he just rolled out of bed. And
we had a whole thing about his hoodie. It looks like, you know, the chair, like where you put your laundry before it goes in the hamper. Like, I was joking that he's wearing a chair hoodie. Like, this guy showed up in like Payless sneakers, and no knock against Payless. I love a bargain. I'm just saying, for Eurovision, you better come in fashion. And this guy shows up in like, you know, Vans high tops and like a wrinkled hoodie. And he won the German nationals against some stuff that I thought was really, really cool and strange. And like, I'm still not, like, clearly I'm livid about this. I have not gotten over it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm gagged.
So we've been watching like all the finalists for this year so far. And so it's interesting because some of the settings of the semifinalists, like some of them are performing in a club. Some of them are performing in what looks like, you know, like X Factor, The Voice type stage, sound stage. Yeah. And some of them are in like arenas and stuff. So when they get to the final, are there standards with how much they have to add to the production? Because some of them are doing the absolute most already and some of them are not. So
there's not a standard. It's sort of worked out between the artist and whoever the broadcaster is. So for England, it would be BBC. You get a certain amount of budget and then the artist sort of drives the creative direction for the most part.
Can they add budget?
They can.
Yeah, that's
okay. Most of the, well, within whatever the budget of the country is. Moldova, for instance, is not going to have a ton of money to throw at something the way that Germany or the UK would. So what you see on the staging in the national finals does not necessarily mean that that's going to be what you see at Eurovision.
Yeah.
But it's a good indicator of where they're starting with the building.
Yeah. So like, for example, I happen to, and it kind of was like a grower, but at first I didn't love it. But now I'm really kind of digging the guy from France, whose name is Slimal. And the song is like, it's a ballad, but it's like a power ballad. And it's actually really beautiful. But in the initial performance, like the nationals, he just kind of stands there with like a bright light behind him. And so like, that's a song that could really benefit from some cool staging. So like, we have to wait and see, because it's a good song, not a great song, but it could be great if he produces something magnificent on stage. So.
Okay, valid. Okay, so going back to some of the rules. So you had mentioned before, they did change quite a lot through the years.
Really?
But currently, it should be noted, so songs can be sung in any language. The artists do not have to be from the country that they are representing. And also, the backing track must be pre-recorded, but vocals must be completely live with no lip syncing or auto-tune allowed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
K-pop, so where you at?
There are bands, though, that do perform. So do you think of kind of the fact that the backing track has to be pre-recorded?
I think it levels the playing field a little bit. And I think that there's no way for something like that where you've got, I think the finale is 25 or 26 songs back to back to back. If you had to switch out instruments as well as mic packs and all of that, someone's going to get hosed because a microphone or a guitar or something is not getting plugged in right. So I get where people are coming from of, but his guitar didn't have to be live. Well, no, but he does have to be standing on stage being engaging with the guitar still.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not that no one wants to hear it live. I think we would love that. But I think just like from a point of pragmatism, it doesn't really work to like reset the stage every single time. And, you know, so yeah. And like something will get delayed or technical will delay something. So I think it's just, you know, it's not like we don't want you to perform live. It's just that it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And every year there's some problem with someone's in-ears or someone's microphone as is.
Yeah, so there's already problems.
Adding, you know, right, however many instruments on top of that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Also, like, aesthetically, you know, there's not a lot of wires and cables and, you know, stuff like that. So it looks pretty on TV. And it also, like, frees up some of the musicians to be able to, like, move around and go a little crazier. And that's always fun. Never hurts. Yeah. And I love that they have to sing live. So that's great. Like, that really, and it's amazing because some of the singing is, like, unbelievable. And you have to remind yourself that they are really singing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there are a couple national finals where they allow autotune, but you have to know going into Eurovision that that is not.
Yeah.
You can use it in your Iceland national final, but you cannot use it at Eurovision.
Yeah.
So you have to sort of plan the song around, if I am dancing for 3 minutes straight, can I keep my breath enough to get these vocals?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to talk about our faves with all the non-lip syncing. But before we get there, before we talk about our faves currently, we have to talk about some people that Americans or non-Europeans actually do know, even if they are not familiar with Eurovision. And
sure.
We have a couple of names. You named some. We've mentioned some as well. We had ABBA, who represented Sweden in 1974 with Waterloo, which was like one of like the first-ish kind of like completely English singles, like right on Eurovision, right? Launched their career. We had Celine Dion, who represented Switzerland in 1988 with a song, which I cannot pronounce because I don't speak the language. But, you know, she already had that success in Europe, but this was a huge launching pad for her. You had Olivia Newton-John, of course, before Greece, 4 years prior to Greece. In 1974 with Long Live Love. And she was already becoming popular in the UK, but again, before Greece. It's like the launching pad for a lot of these people. And then most recently, Måneskin. I've seen them live. I at first did not get it because I only heard Beggin'. And I used to be like, I cannot with this group. But I recently saw them at Global Citizen and I was like, 2021, Italy deserved that win. Absolutely one of my favorite performers I've seen, like, live.
Was that when I had COVID or I got the flu?
Yeah, COVID.
I got COVID for, like, the 14th time.
No!
I've had it 3 times. So, yeah, 3 times.
Yeah.
So, I did not get to see Måneskin, but yeah. Caitlin went and her sister had a very nice time in my place. And
I encourage anyone who wants to get into Eurovision to watch their performance. They interact with the camera in a really interesting way. They interact with each other. They interact with the audience. They are playing for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was an impressive performance. I'm with you. I didn't care for Begging terribly much. But by the time Begging had come out, I had already seen them at Eurovision. And I was like, whatever.
See, and I liked that song and didn't even realize it was them because I only knew them from Eurovision. And it's quite different than what I knew of them. So there's other angles. I don't know if you had more. I'm sorry if we cut you off. But like there's... Like you mentioned Loreen earlier from Sweden. Like there's some people who have had like mildly successful singles that have carried out past Eurovision, like Loreen. And I'm trying to think, Sam Ryder was kind of like a rising star and then like competed in Eurovision and it like catapulted him.
Audie Frere didn't win. They got, I think, fourth. But Think About Things was supposed to be their 2020, the year it got canceled.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be their song. And that launched them. They've been pretty globally successful.
Yeah, and this year you have Ollie Alexander competing for the UK, who has been really successful in his group years and years, but now he's competing as a solo artist. And I'm sure, like, he's
launching his solo,
trying career. To launch his solo career with it. So, and he might. It's a great little pop song. It's wonderful. So, yeah, stuff like that happens all the time. Yeah, and we don't realize it.
Yes, for sure. And this is a great segue because we do want to shout out. So one of our patron producers, Louis, he also loves Sam Ryder's Spaceman. We also had one of our listeners, Lester, who wanted us to shout out Loreen and said Euphoria and Tattoo are both two of the best pop songs ever. I also need to shout out Chanel's Slow Mo.
Great. Yeah.
The Spain entry, because that was going viral everywhere on my feeds because her choreographer was Kyle Hanagami, who I used to take his class
in
LA.
Shut up, North Kyle.
Yeah, and now he choreographs for K-pop. He choreographed the Mean Girls movie that just came out. So yeah, I was already following him and, you know, all the dance kind of circles.
Legit,
so Chanel.
On TikTok. Sorry, I cut you
off.
Yes.
So yes, I have to shout that out. That is, I've watched every single performance that she's done, I think, of Slow Mo.
Together.
And it's also been fun for me because I've seen all the little changes that Kyle made from the kind of the first performance through to the final Eurovision performance as well to make the choreography like even tighter. So yes, that one single-handedly maybe convinced me to get into Eurovision this year.
Yes. Wait till you see Spain this year. It's one of my faves. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And if you're looking for tight choreography, you should check out Malta as well because her dancers pick her up and flick her.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Go ahead, Chantal.
No, nothing crazy. We're going to get there too. Cause, yeah, no, seriously.
You're so, like, you can talk about it forever. It's amazing.
So delicious. Yeah, he and I are actually watching the Chanel performances together. Like, I remember being like, she's singing live. He goes, yep, completely live. I was like, oh my God. That was like, you know, we're also K-pop fans. And the biggest complaint has been that K-pop, one of the many things that kind of differentiate them from like Western performers is that the lip syncing, the harmonies, but lip syncing in particular is like completely prevalent in that industry. And it's like all about being perfect, but it's like train, perform well, make sure it's something that the performers can actually sing. And then we saw Chanel, we were like, oh yeah, we gotta stop like being behind this. So yeah, it just came at a perfect time. Cause like you said, the Malta, we'll get into that. Yeah. But yeah, do you, either of you have like a favorite performance? Like name your top one, both of you. What do you guys
think? This year or like ever?
Ever, good luck.
Ever.
Well, she's got way more to pull from than I do.
So I think in terms of like just a really powerful, like the beautiful side of Eurovision, Conchita Wurst in 2015 with Rise Like a Phoenix is stunning. Stunning vocals, stunning staging, and an example of you can have a song that is just pretty and they're not doing a ton of choreography, but the staging comes alive around them and it's so cool.
Yeah.
In terms of just fun, though, but you can't really beat Subwoofer with Give the Wolf a Banana.
Yes, it's called Give the Wolf a Banana. There are some songs that have that vibe this year, too. Oh. Like, there's an artist named Baby Lasagna. That's really what he's called. And his song is pretty wacky. I mentioned Windows 95, man. Who's the Juiced Klein? What is he from? Netherlands?
Yeah, he's from Netherlands.
His song is bonkers this year. I'm going on a total tangent, but my favorite, I'm like obsessed, is a Serbian artist from a couple years ago called Constructa. And I cannot pronounce the name of the song.
Incorpore Sano. It's the first Eurovision song ever to include Latin.
Yes. It is not a beautiful song. It is not extraordinary choreo, but it is
performance
art. I mean, that's literally what she calls it. She doesn't consider herself a singer. It is performance art. And the song starts by like talking Meghan Markle.
Sort of. It's a whole song about having a like perfect mind in a healthy body.
Yes.
So she talks about like what's the secret of Meghan Markle's hair. Well, everybody's taking care of it for her. So how are we all expected to have that level of perfection without the resources, without the time, without healthcare?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, she literally calls out health insurance.
I remember this performance as you mentioned it.
She's sitting in a chair with her legs slightly apart with a bowl of water and washing her hands like this the whole time. And then she's got like completely standing still
Gregorian
monks like
around
standing around her in a half circle. And when the chorus hits, the only time they move is they just go, yeah, they clap and then they go, do, 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 and then they go back to clapping. Like, it's so bizarre. And that was the first year where I sat down and watched like all of Eurovision.
That was the first year I dragged AJ into that one. And Serbia was about to start. And I was like, ooh, this one's weird. I don't know how you're going to like it.
I was all in. I was all in for Serbia. So I think like part of it is a nostalgia or like a novelty factor for me, but I'm deeply attached. And they were in the running again this year but didn't make it. But the thing that was really funny is that it was a different song with like the same staging and choreography, which is very true to like hipster performing art kind of a thing. I thought that was really funny. So anyway, that's my long-winded answer.
I love that. We will link all of them in the description. Yes, for sure. Okay, so I know I was kind of overwhelmed about getting into Eurovision because I think because we have kind of all the semi, and then you also hear about all the individual country national competitions happening too. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like hundreds of songs and performances to watch. So what are some tips you have for people like us that are going to try and really get into it this year?
I would say start with the Eurovision YouTube page.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, just watch through the performances once. You know, if it's your first year and you don't want to get completely down the rabbit hole and sucked into the politics of everything and everybody's national finals and the everything else, you can just watch the finals. You don't have to like get invested in the enemies and who's qualifying and who's not. But
just watch it because it's fun.
Yeah. And I would say don't try and get super bogged down in the rules, because as with anything that's been going for 60, 70 years, there's a lot of rules and they don't always make sense all the time. But like,
I constantly have to ask Caitlin, like, I don't even follow all those rules that well, but I just like watching the spectacle. And I did exactly what she said at the beginning of this year. I subscribed to the Eurovision YouTube channel. We'll just post almost every day, I think. Like, every time a country announces a new participant, they'll post either a live performance or the music video. And then every now and then, they'll post like a flashback to something iconic. And so that's just been a really good way. And then, I mean, that's how I ended up down rabbit holes. And I start texting Caitlin, look at this, look at this.
Look at everybody who's in for Germany this year. Who's your favorite? The other thing you can do on the YouTube page, they'll have sort of a breakdown of who's in what semis, where they give you about 5 seconds of each song. So if you're looking for a quick and dirty way to like check who's where, that's an easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a Spotify playlist if that's more of your thing. You just have to understand that some of the songs are there because they have a strong visual element, and you're just going to miss that when you're just listening.
Or you can listen to our podcast, Talking Trash Eurovision.
Great plug. You're very natural.
I know. Organic.
That was very organic.
It was.
So it's funny. So through this week, as we were kind of prepping for this, I actually did just listen to the Spotify playlist. So I heard everything before I saw any of the visuals. And I agree with you that that is not the way to go. Because my opinions have changed quite a lot since watching the performances. So yes, don't do that, people.
Yeah. I mean, if I had heard that Scorpion song on its own, I would have been like, what the hell? And then, but like seeing it, I was like dug in. So.
Right. Yes. One of my friends also just wanted to say that Americans tend to take themselves too seriously, which is partly why it's not as big here, because they kind of see these silly performances and stuff and then kind of just dismiss it. So he was like, just embrace the silliness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Embrace the weird.
Embrace the weird. Frankly, I think the weirder the better.
Yeah. We are very honest on the podcast. We have a bias against ballads and we have a bias against boring staging. So
if you're just going to stand there, I'm firing you. I can't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of solo female artists, like, you know, a lot of Britneys and Christinas coming out right now, but a lot of them are not dancers. And I just can't with pop stars just standing there, not into it.
The whole One Direction of it all.
The One Direction of it all. Yeah. Like the literal One Direction of it all. So,
oh my God. There's this one country. I don't know. We Will Rave or something. What country?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we have to talk.
That's all. Girl.
We gonna get to it, but honey, I was like, girl, we'll get to it.
It's so funny because the next episode we record, we are laying into that.
Oh, again, yeah. Be sure to look at Talking Trash Eurovision podcast on all sorts of...
I make all y'all my publicists. Thank you.
I'm in tears. I agree with Chris. I think we do take each other too seriously in terms of like music and stuff like that. But we like memes here, so it's strange. But yeah, no, I didn't have that problem when I was listening to the music. I think because like, some of it was a little bit more rock oriented, or like they had a catchy hook. Like a couple of the countries that kind of use their onomatopoeias in their languages, I was like, oh yeah, I like this one.
Okay.
Like Baby's Lasagna. When I heard something about the cow being sold, I was like, I'm in it. I didn't have to watch the video. Then I watched it and I was like, oh yeah, this guy's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we mentioned Joost Klein from the Netherlands, who's, I mean, he's literally singing a song about how all the countries of Europe are awesome.
Yes.
Like nothing's ever been so panderous in my entire life. He's like, vote for me because I'm going to mention every single country and how awesome they are. But then like when you watch the video, it ends with like him having a profound moment with his father and the house burning down or something. And I'm like, wait, what just happened? But if you just hear that song, it's actually probably makes more sense. So I can't wait to see how he stages it, by the way.
Makes it just that. You know, so now that we're actually at this section, we can talk about our thoughts on the 2024 entries.
So what do you guys like?
Yeah, Chris, I want to know what you like. Because I feel like me and Chris, we have similar taste, but then sometimes it skews off. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, you know, different perspective on that. So like, Chris, what are your picks?
It's so hard because it changes every time. because I've now gone through the playlist so many times and different ones stand out, which I appreciate. So yeah, I definitely realize I tend to either go for really good live vocals. So I'm kind of okay with the power ballad if they can kind of stand up with the vocal, or if it's just super bizarre. So that's kind of my two kind of ones that I lean towards.
Well, you're in luck to respect them both this year.
Yes, exactly. But yes, I think vocally, I thought Denmark's entry, Saba, I believe her name is, that is a good dramatic pop track, and she has a great voice.
And can I hear
her? Yes.
Yeah, she has a good voice.
Ditto Belgium.
Belgium, good voice. Yeah.
His is very dramatic in a way that I love, fall all over for. But I would say Croatia was definitely one of the ones that came out, and AJ and I were texting, and we were like, I don't fully understand what happened, but I'm completely in love with this weird dude and how he says city boys.
Yeah. There's also, like, I think Israel's song is really beautiful. She has a great voice. She sings in English, and then at the end it comes in with some Hebrew. It's a really strong vocal. I'm trying to think who else. Poland's singer. Mm-hmm. She has a strong vocal. It's kind of wacky. I like her a lot.
I would say my favorite right now is Norway. Norway and Slovenia. That like weird evanescency soundtrack, it is made for me.
Yeah.
So both of those came out and I was like,
and
directly into my veins.
My current favorites are like Baby Lasagna, Nebulosa,
Spain.
And I don't think he stands a very good chance, but the little guy from Switzerland, Nemo.
So good.
Nemo?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, Caitlin, I'm starting to learn them from memory. I don't have to look them up anymore.
Growth.
I'm advanced. Now, who else do you guys like?
I think staging wise, one that was actually very memorable was Moldova, where she had like the violinist and the two microphone stands and stuff.
Yes, love.
Thought that was beautifully done. And she was on such a tiny stage too. So I'm excited to see her do it bigger. I'm also quite intrigued by Ireland's whole like goth situation with the screamo and then like a really beautiful chorus, actually. Like the song is quite bizarre, but that one stood out when I was just listening to it, like before I saw the performance. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's definitely like music video recorded track I like better than what we saw in the national final. Yeah. I'll struggle with that one because I think it's sort of a Franken song where she's taken four songs and like put them in a trench coat and is going out with. I do this every time. They're non-binary, and I mess that up every time. I'm so sorry.
No, I do too. We're learning. We have good intentions.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think we listen to so much K-pop that the Frankensteining is normal for us now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Chris, sometime, I don't know if you've ever heard that I dragged your sister to a BTS Q&A.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. I did hear about that.
And full obsessed with BTS, even still, like love so much. So anyway. Little digression.
We need to get you into some of the other groups then.
Yeah.
Please, by all means. I'm currently obsessed with Rosé.
Oh.
Isn't she from K-pop?
She is.
We gotta get you deeper. You're like at the tippity.
Yeah, you're at the very tip of it right now.
TikTok and I've got Instagram. I only see what they show me, except
ballad.
Every now and then I go down a hole on YouTube. So I might have seen some of the acts and not know what they're called.
I really recommend driving her down a rabbit hole because it's a lot of fun.
It is. And there's a group for you, Caitlin, called Dreamcatcher. If you like the Evanescence like sound, they are dripping in just Amy Lee. And I, oh my gosh. Aww. So we'll talk about it another time off the record. But for me, I think I'm similar to Chris, where it's like I like a good vocal, but I definitely like a pop, because I'm a pop artist myself. So I like to have good pop or a good ballad. You got to sit there and make me like reconsider, like, I wish I had somebody to fall in love with and break my heart so I could sing this song with all my body. So for me, I'm just going to go down a quick list. Malta with Loop, when I heard it, it's very catchy. I was like, ooh, solid track. And she actually danced and it wasn't just sitting there selling you.
I think she is a dancer.
Like that. Yeah. It was giving. I was like, thank you for moving. For France, Mon Amour, I was listening to it. I don't know if he'll win, but at least I'm like, okay, this is a solid song. Because I heard his blast toward the end and I was like, that's what we need.
And
that's
he sounds like that live.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love that because it wasn't just like, I'm a beautiful trained singer. So I appreciate that. Norway, I'm with you. Ulveham is epic. Vocally, the staging, like everything about it was just like, oh, I like this. And it's a rock song. And very rarely the rock throughout the history, I've noticed, hasn't been really getting that love.
Yeah.
Latvia with Hollow, I liked the concept of it. I wonder if he's going to bring all those bald men to the stage.
Ask There's for the... a sense we never thought we'd say.
Yeah,
you bring know. All bald men to the stage.
Latvia. Bring all the bald men. As and for the culture award, I give Armenia with Jaco, Greece with Zari, and Baby Lasagna from Croatia with Brin Tim Tagi Dim. Because again, what I got from all of that was this is what the people like. It had the traditional instruments involved. And I was like, I don't care what you're saying. The
exactly.
melody pop line is just so good. So definitely Armenia, Greece, those two women, like, or those two people, I'll say, stood out to me because I was like, I'm hearing the culture and I'm also hearing pop. And
yeah.
that's what I want.
Yeah.
For like a new fan. I like that.
Yeah. 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 No, for sure. That's how I got sucked in the culture of it. And then, like, can't go wrong for me with a good classic pop song. And, you know, it's why I'm a boy band fanatic and a girl singer fanatic. Like, yeah, the only reason we can talk today is because I'm taking a 1 hour break from watching NSYNC on repeat. So, you know, all good. Yeah. The other thing that we didn't mention that I think is worth mentioning and is interesting is that it is Eurovision, but there are countries that are not actually in Europe. So, like, we've mentioned Israel a couple times. Australia also participates.
I found out why. Oh, I finally, it's been, we keep saying, like, we don't know why Australia and Israel are allowed to compete, but they're here. Israel is part of the EBU. They broadcast a lot of European TV. So, they're broadcast as part of the EBU. And Eurovision got so popular in Australia that in 2015, as a one-off, they were invited to compete just that year. And then everybody loved them so much, and they were so, like, welcoming and happy thing that they just never left.
All right. Good for you, Australia.
Yeah.
That's great. Is there any, did I miss anyone other than Israel and Australia? Aren't there?
Not currently. Turkey used to compete. Morocco used to compete. So there have been, like, outside of the EU countries who have competed before. I say this as a full American. Please don't let America join. We'll ruin it.
What? What do you mean? You don't want a yummy or like, I don't know. Okay, hang on, but just for...
I love that your immediate go-to was Justin Bieber, who's Canadian.
I know, that's so bad. Hang on, wait, hang on, rewind. Oh my goodness, hang on. I apologize, oops. You know what's so crazy? We have so many foreigners here in America singing, like, The Weeknd from Kenyatta as well. And Rihanna is Bayesian, you know, it's good music.
Yeah.
But just for spits and gigs, before we close out, who do you all think would be a good American representative for Eurovision?
Tough question. Oh, God. The pressure.
Yeah. My immediate thought was Dua Lipa.
Thank you.
And
my
by
point.
By the way, they're far away. There's someone competing. I can't remember which country. Is it Greece? Someone competing was an American Idol finalist.
I think the Georgia.
Is it Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, the Americans have...
Kelly Clarkson. Let's be
I mean, come on.
Package of Kelly, chip her over, embarrass everybody, and then leave the competition and never come
you
back.
You know what?
We don't
know. 1,000%. You just nailed it. Like, it
I can imagine.
Like, every artist in America is afraid she'll sing their song. Like, so that's really where we're at now. So, like, put the girl in, put her in first class and ship her to Eurovision.
Can you imagine? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry I won. I'm sorry, y'all.
And dip out of the competition with a perfect record and we never come
back. Yeah, I mean, she'd come out like a Stevie Nicks dress and bare feet and, like, sing circles around everybody. So we stand Kelly, as I know Chris does as well.
Yes, that's actually going to say Kelly. She is the nation's idol. She is the one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on now. All right. You guys heard it here. Kelly Clarkson is going to win Eurovision 2026. At 2 years to prepare, girl, get on it. Yes, before we actually, like, do give our final closing statements and such, AJ, Caitlin, give us the plug. Rep yourself. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anything, you can follow Talking Trash Eurovision on Instagram. I believe, and I probably should have checked this before we logged on, but I believe it's just all one word, Talking Trash Eurovision. So we're on Insta. It's a fairly new account, so we're working on it, but come check us out. You can listen to us on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, all the places. And for me personally, if you want to follow me anywhere, it's just my name, AJ Pewerman, on every possible social media platform because that is my life. And I recommend my TikToks because I post videos of my weird dog and he's very entertaining.
I don't really post on social media since podcasts, which AJ and occasionally my writing partner get on my case about, but talking to Crash Eurovision, we are posting. We've had a couple down weeks for personal stuff, but we post usually every week. And if you're getting into Eurovision, we are a fairly easy way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. We're palatable.
I love that.
That's a good word. No, you okay.
Okay, great. All right.
Solid word. All right, y'all, listen. CCTV crew, new viewers, if you are a fan of Eurovision, please give us some tips for beginners like us to fully enjoy the competition. And of course, drop your comments for who you expect to win this year, who you rooting for. Make sure you join that conversation on Patreon as well at patreon.com/CCTVPops and message us at CCTVPops on all social media. And on YouTube, please give us a like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. And if you're on a podcast platform, give us and Dr. Dresh a follow, rating, and a review. Until next time, that's Chris.
That's Shan.
And AJ and Caitlin.
And we're signing off from CCTV, the nonstop pop show.